Welcome to another week of Beyond the Gym Floor. Now, this week's episode took a slightly different turn, and I just wanted to give you guys a little prior warning before you dive headfirst into the episode. We do discuss some reasonably heavy topics on the back end of this program, talking about depression, our experiences with it. It does get kind of heavy at times, so just a forewarning for that. And then obviously just a reminder, one of my biggest pet peeves is we only have one day a year where we ask everyone if they're okay. So take this as a reminder to check on your mates. If you're struggling yourself, make sure you reach out for help. Someone like Beyond Blue, Better Health, something like that. It's not weak to speak, all the cliches. If you are struggling right now, reach out and speak to somebody. And if you know someone who you think has just been a little bit different lately, take this opportunity, shoot them a message, hang out with them, see what's going on. And hopefully this episode can make a little bit of a difference in the community. We also obviously go into the evolution of STC, the company, and as we feel like we move into stage three, as always, openly discuss our failures and our excitement for the future. So enjoy the episode. Look forward to all the feedback as always. Without further ado.
We spent how much money on that soundboard?
I don't know. We've bought so much shit over the
years. I used it once and it didn't work.
I think I pressed the button once and look, there was an applause.
And now we've got one that's like a third of the size. Not even. Quarter of the size.
Oh, yeah.
The portable one. This one does sound better.
Yeah, the other one's a bit tinny.
Yeah, it's got more bass in this one.
I see.
Yeah, I've been thinking about stealing the other one for my wife's podcast.
She's
at home.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Do you use Riverside, mate?
Yeah.
Riverside.
Yep. I think we can plug that into Riverside, right? Record that way. And now I have my fancy camera.
I've no idea. I'm not the guy.
I just show up.
I'm not that guy. I put the headphones on and just talk shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I could learn it if I had to.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So we're talking about the jumper on Fit. So tune in to, it's important about the jumper.
The jumper. You like my jumper. It's all good.
Yeah.
Start Myron now.
Out Wednesday. Go over
barbells. You got to go to the other potty to
barbells
get the story. I'm gonna go. Fuck! I'm sweating underneath here because this is so fucking thick.
Yeah, just committed.
I'll tell you what,
committed to the joke so much.
This is GSM fucking 10,000.
Yeah,
it's almost like windproof. It's that there's that much fucking GSM in this bad boy.
Yeah, mad.
Yeah.
We playing golf today?
We can.
So fuck, it makes me so happy.
We can play.
I just like need to go outside.
I will try and participate in the game of golf today.
Look, we're going to practice.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to have a good time.
We're not going to play. I'm telling myself that I'm going to practice. Therefore, I'll have a good time because I'm not expecting to shoot 45.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm expecting to shoot 55. And
so I'm not expecting
anything. Be okay with that.
I'm not expecting 55.
Trash.
Yeah, just
just trash.
I just want to hit that one shot that I'm supposed to hit.
Yeah.
That all this fucking time has been, you know, working on.
Yeah.
That's all I want to hit.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, it does work. Have it.
Just contact would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Contact's okay. It's the direction.
Mm. Yeah. So, it's going to be interview style today.
Oh, you already kind of mentioned the topic too.
Yeah, well,
I'm sweating.
That's coming later.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh,
so, you can sweat on it longer. Yeah, because I often like ponder all the shit that I want to talk about on this episode and then you have no idea. So, like, last week it was, like, me reading from my notes and you're like, yeah. So, I was like, I have to structure this in a way that it's kind of interview style so you can...
Just be a good fucking host, bro.
Yeah. Nah. So, I've come up with this theory. I've been reflecting on STC, on our journey lately.
Yeah.
And I think... We are in phase three of our progress so far.
Phase three.
Yeah. Potentially phase four, but I think as STC Fit, we are phase three.
Yeah.
So there was like a prequel to that, which was us just training people.
Yeah.
Then we started Fit and it was just like, let's just do all of the work.
Yeah.
And all of the things.
Aimlessly.
It's like, we're good at training people. Let's figure out. Let's try and actually work out why we're good at it and then tell some other people.
Yeah.
And that was like phase one was like, if everybody does what we do, they'll be successful.
Yeah.
And that was like the first 17 trainers, 300 in the team plus you and I, so it would have been like 350 pushing 400 sessions at points.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah, to be honest. Nuts.
And we're like, why were we tired?
Fuck, paid for my wedding though. Yeah. It's good. Paid for it before the day.
Yeah.
Cash.
No. So that was phase one, and that was like super manual. We're doing this week, so we have to write it and create it.
So laborious. Mm. Laborious? Laborious?
Laborious.
Laborious.
Yeah. Yeah. I said dichotomy on the podcast the other day.
I remember, yeah.
Someone messaged me and was like, whoa, good word.
I wonder what the word of the day is going to be today.
Good word. We'll see if we can drop something. It could be laborious.
Ornithorhynchus.
Laborious isn't bad. So yeah, that was phase one. And then we moved into a phase that I think if we look back on now was a failure.
Which one?
No, this whole phase. Uh-huh. Where we're sort of like, well, we've set a framework now. And someone else can do that.
Yeah.
And I think we removed ourselves too much too soon from that.
Yeah, we tried to move on too quickly.
Yeah, it's like, we'll systemize this now. Go do the thing.
Yeah, but I think that was so we were super tired and burnt out and didn't want to do the thing anymore.
Yeah.
So then we were like, oh, we'll just like...
can do the thing.
Yeah, we'll make it all online and then we'll be able to replace ourselves and like, yeah, someone else can do the thing. It was too much.
Yeah.
It's like we should have just made the thing more efficient and that would have...
Yeah.
And we should have stayed in it.
We could have just done it.
We could have stayed in it and it would have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just, yeah. And that brings us on to... So, up till that point, everything was internal. So, everything was like we worked together and then we brought other people from in our community to try and like level them up and bring them up into other positions. And then, yeah, moving into that phase was like, cool, now you're in a position of responsibility. You're in a position of like high financial reward if you're successful, not much financial reward if you're not. And that was sort of like the strategy. So what I sent the photo of the drink that I had last night and you were like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I sent a photo of me having... I actually had a port. It's quite nice. I've been staring at it on my shelf for like fucking 6 weeks. I'm like, I really want one of them. Because I just had a day. a fucking day. So we've started dealing with people not in the business. So we've hired externally, brought people in a lot of different areas in our business. And one of those relationships was not going too well at the time. And I had to do some shit to figure it out. And it was just like the end of the day, once I kind of dealt with it all, it was like, that was a very, as much as I ranted to Dad in the DM, I didn't message you because I knew it would have pissed you off too much.
Yeah.
Fire with fire was not what I needed at that moment.
Yeah. I was in a good mood yesterday too. So thank you. Very rare.
Yeah.
Lately.
So I was like, okay. I reflecting on the day, I was like, it was a very mature approach to the day. What's working? What's not working? How do we solve the problem?
Yeah.
Solved it. And then obviously we just finished the meeting, execute this morning. We're good.
Yeah.
So the drink was just sort of like, okay, this is a step into another level of legitimacy into what we do. That's what I felt.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I feel like a fucking business owner now. It's like we're working with... Are they vendors, contractors? I don't know. Other people?
Vendor sounds cool.
Yeah. All right.
So other people external to the business that are doing stuff for us.
Vendor definitely sounds better
than
that. So, yeah, being able to obviously start moving into that and like we've always had the luxury when we were promoting people from within. They knew the culture. They knew the speed of what we work at, how we communicate. The standards that we set, all of those types of things, they all kind of were in that and shared those values.
Mm.
So then working with people outside of that, it's like learning, fuck, how do I deal with this individual person to get the best outcome and not just like, and understanding that the expectations that I set for us that probably aren't going to align with another company potentially.
Yeah.
So it's just, it was an interesting sort of day. Which got me thinking about like how many businesses that you deal with that are just shit.
Fuck.
And they're just like, I look at them and I'm like, I've worked I know we've done stuff not well at times.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. I also look at, yeah, some businesses and just be like, how the fuck are you doing so well with so little, so little skill set, so little quality? It's like, how are you here? Are we just in the wrong niche? Like, is making, as much as we talk about, like, there's heaps of money to be made in fitness, like, is it just hard?
Yeah, I think there's some other places and other industries where it's, I think if you just, yeah, everything lines up.
Yeah.
The thing just runs itself.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine who is in she's in the finance space and fucking killing it, like exploding in the last like 12 to 18 months. And the market is super specific. It's targeting young people that don't understand money. Just be like, instead of just, do you want a home loan? It's like, let me show you a pathway how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I reached out to her about like, oh, like what paid marketing strategies have you done? Like, how are you sort of running all that? She's like, oh, I've never done it. You know what she said to me?
What?
Have you tried posting a reel?
Yeah.
You post a reel that gets good reach and people follow you, and then you just post your product in the story.
Fuck. Is that what we've been doing wrong?
I was like, oh my God, that's literally what, like you, that's what works for you. That's the level of detail you have to go. There's no lead magnet buy-in fucking podcast. It's just like, yeah, I just post a reel about the thing and then people come. Fuck. Wild.
I'm in the wrong industry.
What's your worst one? It's got to be tradies, right?
Oh, bro. Fuck him. My brother's like trying to get his house painted at the moment.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, fuck, bro, I don't envy your position at all. Like one bloke quoted him like to paint a house. Like, it just seems very excessive to me. But he got quoted $33,000 to get his house painted, right? And I'm like, you sure you didn't mean like the outside as well? And he's like, no. He told me that we could do the outside if we wanted to. And then it was like another bloke. He was like, came in, did it, you know, did the quotes and stuff. And he's like, inspected the house. He's like, oh, I'll let you know on Monday. Just like,
never heard.
No. Just not happening.
Yeah. Just decided he didn't want the job.
Maybe.
I know tradies do that.
Yeah, well, I thought he got the fuck off price with the $33,000.
Yeah.
And then the guy was like, no, we can start Monday. And then he got another one for like $7,000. So then I was like, well, you don't want to go with that.
That's too cheap.
Yeah.
Run. I bought.
So I'm like, you need to find something that's around the 15 mark, yeah. Obviously. You know, and then, yeah, it's just... Even in the past, like working with, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I might be able to do it next week. It's like, no. When the fuck can you start?
Yeah.
Yeah. Notoriously bad. Or they just don't rock up or.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they must
it's just
have
like, they're just good technicians.
They're just good at their job.
And there's a huge demand.
Yeah.
So it's like, if the demand's high, all you've got to do is like show up on Google and you're sweet.
Yeah. Like poor communicators, very, very good at their job.
Yeah.
Horrible at working with people.
Had a family member or like a partner of a family member move to Melbourne from Sydney to like be with his partner.
Yeah.
And he was a deck builder. And I was like, dude.
Chippy? Is that what they call?
He is by trade, but yeah, specifically he was just building decks for like going like Point Cook area.
Yeah.
Development, high development areas and just building decks for people. It's like easy, low overheads, fucking get in, get
don't
it done.
Get a deck, guys.
Good money.
It's overrated.
Yeah. I want one for my...
Composite's good. The composite decking's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Get the plastic shit.
Yeah, because you don't have to seal it. Yeah.
You don't want to be sanding that baby.
Yeah.
It's staining it every fucking summer.
So I was like, bro, Western suburbs at the moment, absolutely flying. Like, you will not be short of work whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's what you should do. You should put together a service package that is X amount up front and then X amount per week. And you service their deck, you clean it every year. You could put together like a blog series of how to measure your deck, what to expect when building a deck, how to maintain a deck, and put out some content around it. Have a website. Dude, you'll never struggle again. He was just like, just blank staring at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just going to build the decks, bro.
Yeah. It's like, and then when I build the deck, someone else will say I built the deck and then I can just build another deck. Yeah. And I was just
take a picture, put on Instagram. It's all good.
Like, fuck, bro. Like, it's the barrier of entry to be successful in some other industries is so, so low.
Yeah. I feel like maybe it's got to do with like frequency of of transaction. Like the less you transact, then it's more reliance on maybe like word of mouth and stuff, and it's a little bit easier maybe to get, not easier, but like, you know, to fall into that web is a bit, you know, when it's like an ongoing thing, like people really want to make sure that it's like for them.
Yeah.
They really need to see or hear or know that what they're doing is, you know, you're the person or the service is really for them. Yeah. Maybe. Because it's like,
we're also considered a luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you need to get a deck built, someone's going to say like, hey, I went off this guy, and then they're going to go, oh, yo, that's probably enough for me to start the conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, because you can't fuck researching it.
Yeah, well, I don't know what a fucking good deck person is.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, show me all the decks you've made.
Yeah,
They all look like decks.
And then the personal trainer, like how many, I've seen it so many times where like people are in standout, and usually it's a girl is doing standout, or a woman, a female.
Yeah.
I don't know what word I'm supposed to use.
Biological female. who refers to themselves as a woman.
Yeah, she, her. I don't know. So we have, a woman doing standout, and they'll post like doing this, and then now a guy will message them like, what's that? Like, oh, I'm doing business mentoring, blah, blah, blah. Sounds like a scam. Like, what the fuck? Based off what?
Sounds like a scam.
One fucking like picture of a Zoom call, and it's like, oh, it's a scam. It's like, wow, okay. Like, yeah, it's such a different...
Did that actually happen?
Yeah, bro.
Oh,
one of your clients who used to be in our trainer web
said it was a scam.
Someone messaged them and was like, it sounds like a scam.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's so funny.
Yeah, it sounds like a scam. And then she went to Europe overseas, not even Europe, traveled the world for 8 months or some shit. Totally paid. But yeah, definitely a scam.
What a scam. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I just look at stuff through. So before we keep going, I just want to give you guys a little message about our Standout PT program. So Standout PT has been designed for personal trainers who want to sustain a long-term career in fitness, but right now they're sick of chasing clients, they're not making enough time for money, and they're super frustrated with the results that they're getting in their business, and they can't see themselves being here in 3 to 5 years' time. If you want to know more about the Standout PT program, head to stcfitlearning.com, head to programs, and all the details are there. And you can book in your free exploration call where we can have a look and see whether or not that would actually be a suitable program for where your business is at right now. And back to the episode. Just different lenses. Like, I can't watch the Good Golf Channel because they don't wear lapels.
Oh, okay.
It's like, bro, I know a lapel is like $120.
Yeah.
Why are you using a directional mic while you're outside?
Awful.
Talking at the golf ball and the camera's over here. Stop that.
And it's windy.
Yeah. It's like, I have a lapel for my fucking house.
Yeah.
Because the shotgun mic's not quite perfect. No. Nah.
Donald Trump doesn't work that well.
It does me. I can't handle it. And then, this is not country story of the week, but a story from the country this week.
Okay.
So there's a main cafe in Gisborne, and it's actually, shouts out to Three Little Pigs, it's actually fire. Food's amazing.
I've been there. Coffee
is pretty good.
Guys are right.
And obviously on the weekends, Gisborne's is like your access to the ranges. Mm. So it pumps on the weekend. Locals and
visitors.
Out of towners. Yeah. Unlike me, who's a local now. So
out of towners.
The way they set up,
you can smell them.
Fucking city folk. The way they set up the counter is you have like one section that's like the payment desk where they take the orders. Then they have like their stand that has like the pies and focaccias and all that shit, like the eyeball stuff that's not on the menu.
Mm. That annoys me, by the way.
Me too. We were having that exact discussion that every cafe does it though.
Fucking annoys me.
Every cafe. So that is a thing that
should be on the menu.
Every business does it wrong.
Should say,
like, how are you getting?
Should say C cap, like if it's just like focaccias, toasties. Like, I don't know. I don't want to have to fucking ask if you do toasties.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're just in the mint. Yeah, put in on here. Like, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I guess it's just like,
I take my cafe seriously.
Because once all the pies are sold out, they're sold out. So you can't just make one out the back. I don't know.
But it should just say like subject to availability. Like, it's in the display, whatever it's called, fridge.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not stupid. You can tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it might be sold out. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh, no, you ran out of food because it was so good that people bought it.
Yeah. Fuck, we'll order that earlier next time.
Yeah, that's it. So just there's makes you this, want it more.
There's this gap. So they make the coffees behind there. So there's a gap in just next to the register and then more like bench space for them behind, right? And then there's like a playground down. Now, the kitchen's down the back. So the main access route for the waitresses from kitchen to public is through...
The same place you take the orders.
The same kind of area, right? Now, it's hilarious to just watch people. Sometimes you're just like, "How we are so stupid."
Yeah.
As a species, we are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Someone standing at the counter, pathway, and you've got like 10 meters that you could stand against the counter all the way down to the bathroom. It's probably like 20 meters.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And where do people stand?
Across.
Right behind the fucking person there.
Yeah.
In the walkway.
Yeah.
And then where's the next person stand?
The next then blocking.
Behind them.
Yeah.
So then the waitress comes through with 18 plates and a coffee on her head. And it's like, excuse me, sir. Like, and then you go like, Amy does it all the time. It's like one of those things that just triggers her. And she's like, do you know if we stand over here, we won't be in the way? And you just watch the whole line like move, like, oh yeah, that's really smart.
They just need someone to guide the herd.
It's just like put some footprints on the floor
and
a sign that says line up this way.
Yeah.
They'll probably still fuck it up. But it's just like
But it's easy to tape, hey, go over here when they don't.
Just the blindness. So I did it the other day. There was person stood behind them and then I stood the smart way. And then another person came up and stood, was the third one in the stupid line. And I was like,
nah.
So she like went to step forward and the waitress just looked at me and was like, what would you like? And I was like,
yeah.
Mr. Bean fingers out the window. Like, nah, bro. You seen me standing here. Yeah. I know you did.
That's a fucking dog move. Yeah. Man. It's like being at the bar and like.
Yeah, you're pushing in.
Someone, you're at the front of the bar and then like, it's like, who's next?
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm like.
Yeah.
You're someone who doesn't put your fucking trolley away.
Yeah.
You suck. You fucking suck.
Yeah. Give him a t-shirt. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my story for the week. But I'm just like, just fascinated with
shit businesses.
How businesses can be so successful and make so much money sometimes. Like Telstra.
Yeah.
Telstra's the worst business on the planet from customer service.
Yeah, but they just have like.
Just own monopoly.
Yeah. If you have enough of everything, like you can just be shit.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah, it sucks.
Wild.
It sucks when you try and run a legitimate one.
Yeah, and then it makes me reflect, like, what dumb shit do we do that we don't notice? Because they're obviously just blind to that, right?
Yeah.
It's just something that happens, and they've become so used to it that the waitresses just deal with getting through and don't actually see the solution to the problem. So I wonder, like, what our students come through, and they're like, this is fucking shit, and they never say anything.
Yeah, because you ask them, and it's always good.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you kind of like, you can say it. Just say it nicely.
Have you heard the, I think it was Hormozy. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Heard the, so we always preach that you should do reviews with your clients. And then basically this guy's just like, it's useless.
Yeah.
That if you ask someone, they don't know. So every time we're like, hey, what'd you think of the workshop? You know, like they're like, oh, it's fucking awesome. Yeah, and then you do the next one, they're like, oh, this was so much better. And it's like, but you said the last one was good. So it's like they can't identify the gaps. So they did this study. I don't know if it was a study or it's just a story. Let me correct that. It's a story, not a study. When they were trying to introduce margarine. So margarine is like this color.
It's gray.
Gray for the people. The ear people.
It's this color, guys. Whatever color you want that to be, it's that.
So when it first came out, they were having a lot of trouble getting people to eat it.
Yeah, it looks like shit.
And everyone was like, no, doesn't taste as good as butter.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste the same, blah, blah, blah. So then this guy like put on an event and like a speaking event and then just put muffins on the side and dyed the butter gray. And dyed the margarine yellow. Yeah. And then when everyone was finished, it was like, what tasted better? And it was the same people that said that margarine tasted like shit now said margarine tastes great.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so they actually don't.
Yeah, they don't just think it's going to be shit.
Yeah, yeah. Wherever I was listening to this concept, they were talking about like how price impacts experience.
Yeah.
So if you pay $100 for a steak, doesn't matter if it's better, it'll still taste better.
Yeah.
Because the cycle's $100.
Unless you're from Melbourne.
Well, yeah. It
is. Pay $100 for a steak and I'm like, oh, there's so many places I could get a better one for 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Says the guy that's the overprivileged dude sitting here. Right now.
My problem is I'm so good at reverse searing steak now that I just don't buy expensive steak. Unless I go to like Rockpool or something.
Yeah. It's more the experience then.
100. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just the steak.
Yeah.
It's like the not having to make your own steak and clean it up.
And that's it. So your reflection on that experience is much higher, even if the food isn't actually that good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So obviously we know like with wine and stuff, like the more expensive wine, when you do the blind study, and then people like to say like, oh, see, you don't even know. It's like, no, there is a something that happens in your brain when you perceive something.
Yeah, well, the price increases the value, 100%.
Yeah, so your perceived experience actually changes. So it's not that you are shit at tasting.
Yeah.
It's like your perceived experience of consuming the expensive thing is different.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'd love like sitting in the... used to get in the Merc and be like, yeah. And I like, obviously now I'm driving the Hyundai. I'm like, this is like fucking 8/10 of the way there.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go anywhere close to the feeling.
Yeah. Because it doesn't slap.
Yeah. Because it's like, it didn't cost. It cost a third of what I spent on the Mercedes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's a weird experience. And then like, I've also sat in, I think Skoda is a good example.
Yeah.
It's like that mid price point. Mm. Externally, not as attractive as like many other Europeans. But if you get in this, like the fully optioned Supreme or whatever it is, it's like, bruh.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's probably more comfortable than an Audi or a Mercedes.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty comfortable.
But you're like,
but it's on par.
Yeah, but
you're sitting in it going like, oh, this is good. Like you're not going, oh, I wish it was.
Because it's $20,000 cheaper.
Yeah.
You don't have the same.
Cars are the best example of that.
Yeah.
Like the price thing.
But your showroom doesn't feel as good and the.
Yeah, well, it's all of that.
The salesperson's not dressed as well. Yeah, it's not as exclusive.
It's not the car.
The whole thing's not.
Yeah, the little bits and bobs.
Yeah.
It's like going to the cafe, waiting for your car to get serviced, and it's like, you can just have whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the difference.
Yeah. My favorite story during the time I owned the Merc was leaning on a top-of-the-range Amarok with a like fucking 115 grand or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're at a family do, and Amy's cousin's like, wow, is that your Merc out there?
Yeah,
like, it's fucking wild. He goes, fuck, you must be doing all right. And I was like, I looked at the tailgate, and I was like, you know this is worth more than that, right?
Yeah, they just got no idea.
It's just hilarious.
Mac do it so well.
But if I had taken him for a drive, he would have been like, oh, man, this is so nice.
Yeah, because it's not a truck.
Yeah, but also just the perception that it's so much more expensive.
Yeah,
if I had the Skoda parked out the front, which like we said, it's pretty similar inside, similar driving experience.
Yeah.
Not an AMG, obviously. But it's like
AMGs just make loud noises.
A standard C-Class like versus a nice Skoda.
Yeah.
Once you're in it, it's like, it's probably going to be similar. The touches are all going to be the same. The leather's going to be the same. Like,
yeah.
But you would just perceptually opening the door, be like, nah, it's not
it. Nah, it doesn't hit the same. Do I tell you about how I drove?
Oh yeah.
So I drove my client's daughter to her formal.
Yeah. That's cool.
So it's pretty cool. Like, she didn't want to go on like the old 66 Impala, which I was like, can you just tell your friend to come so I can look at it?
They've got one.
So the choice was to take her. He was like, oh, I'll get my mate's 66 Impala. It's got hydraulics that works, right? Fully resto. He's only had it for 3 weeks since being in the shop.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't want to go in there. It's too old. So like, he was devastated. I was devastated. I was like, are you kidding? But Steph was like, of course, like it's old.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't want to, like we don't appreciate old cars like
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So then she's like, oh. Every time she comes for training, so for the very few people that I train, like I train my client who've trained for ages and his daughter.
Yeah.
And every time the car, she's like, oh, you know, the car, this car's so good.
Yeah.
And if Steph's got it, she's like, oh, where's the good car?
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, can we go in Jason's car? And he's like, I've got to ask. Anyway, I said yes. So bro, like, I've got 17-year-old and like two boys. So yeah. I'm taking the three of them, right?
Yeah.
They're like 6'2".
In the back?
Yeah. So I'm like, they come in, they got their fucking cans and shit. And I'm like, all right. So they go down the hatch or they don't, you don't get in the fucking car. So they're like, okay. So, yeah, we get in the car. And they're like, oh, can we play the music? Can we turn it up? Can we do this and that? I'm like, you guys can do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. I'm like, just don't break my shit. And then one of the boys is like, hey, boss. He's like, this car's really nice, man. I'm like, thanks.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, how much does it cost? And I said, oh, look, it's a fair bit.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, whatever. And then he's like, oh, so, you know, you obviously like PT, you make a lot of money. And I was like, well, no, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
I said, like anything, I said, if you work hard enough and
yeah.
I see you be smart with your decisions and whatever. I said, you know, you can have a lot of opportunities.
Wisdom, Jason.
And then his mate was like, fuck, bro. He's like, do you know who Andrew Tate is? He's like, he goes, you sound like Andrew Tate. He's like, Andrew Tate, is that you, bro? Fuck, yeah. I was laughing so hard. Oh, fuck. So then, yeah, like, we rock
Jason
up.
Jason Tate. I like that.
It's fucking hilarious. So we rock up to this joint. They're like, oh, can we put the sunroof down? And they're like, oh, what song are we going to play and shit? I was like, fuck, I feel yeah, so old, bro. Song, yeah. And they're like, song. Oh, can you like drive right up to the front? And I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Like, fuck, it was so funny, bro.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. Made me feel fucking so old.
Yeah. Your Merc was in my wedding.
Yeah.
That was good.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. You didn't drive it because you would have forgot. Dad drove it.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone wants to hire the car.
Yeah.
I'll give you a
good
deal.
It was fucking expensive. You charged me heaps.
Yeah. I'll give you a good deal. I need to pay it off. I need to find a way to pay it off.
Yeah, yeah. You only got trumped with the bride because...
Oh, bro.
You know?
Yeah.
A one of nine Rolls Royce yeah. that gets offered to you for free.
Bastard. God yeah. damn you, Dean.
Yeah. It's just a shame it was raining.
We didn't I know. Have the top down. Yeah, yeah, really yeah.
Bad, but...
That was good.
Yeah, we got some good photos of it, which is nice. So before we keep going, I just want to give you guys a little message about our Standout PT program. So Standout PT has been designed for personal trainers who want to sustain a long-term career in fitness, but right now they're sick of chasing clients, they're not making enough time for money, and they're super frustrated with the results that they're getting in their business, and they can't see themselves being here in 3 to 5 years' time. If you want to know more about the Standout PT program, head to stcfitlearning.com. Head to programs and all the details are there, and you can book in your free exploration call where we can have a look and see whether or not that would actually be a suitable program for where your business is at right now. And back to the episode. So I'm going to take a total fucking shift of direction. So right. I've decided that my podcast topics each week at this point is just going to be how we interpret the Modern Wisdom podcast, because I listen to it while I drive here. And we should talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to get myself comfy.
So my interview question, the one that you've been sweating on for the last 20 minutes.
I'll tell you what, fucking, we should have done the Fit podcast first so I can take this fucking jumper off.
So I think it's interesting because it is something that is obviously prevalent everywhere in culture, but also in fitness, particularly with personal trainers, and we hear about it a lot, is depression. So my first question. So yeah, we've gone from like we're a positive influence in male culture around going to the doctors and getting
your swimmers checked. That's it.
Have missed that episode.
Gotta come in a cup every now and then.
Barbells and banter, get over there. Now we're raising awareness around depression. Look at us go.
That's it. Make a move. Influencer. Hashtag.
Yeah. Progressive or something. I don't know. First question. Have you ever experienced it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, Ben's like, do you have feelings?
Robot yeah, over there.
100%. Yeah, I think, obviously there's like acute depression, you know? Like, yeah. You know, your fucking calves are small. you don't hit your PR in the gym. No, I'm kidding. There's obviously acute phases, that, you know, incidents that happen in life. Dog passes away.
Yeah.
A family member passes away. Mm-hmm. Huge tragedies, things like that. So I think... I probably experienced it the first time significantly when my dog died.
Mm.
My first one.
Yeah.
Because he like...
Dre, right?
Yeah, he was like robbed, man. Like he was 4 years old. Like kind of just went out in the backyard and all of a sudden he was like just fucking in a coma, stomach cancer, whatever.
Fuck.
So I was like, you know, I just felt like his time was too soon. I didn't get enough. He was supposed to come move with us and you know, all that. So yeah, that was pretty tough and like... Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, that hit hard. Like, that hit to the point where, like, even Steph and I were, you know, kind of colliding.
Yeah.
Because we're both just sad. You know?
Yeah.
And then I reckon after that, knee surgery, like the knee injury, mm-hmm. all of that, getting out of shape, because I had the surgery and I had someone at the, an old friend, I'll call him now, because I would love to knock his fucking teeth out, because he said, geez, man, you've really let it go.
So
he
said, Jesus. Thanks, bro.
So literally, like, maybe, I don't know, probably a month off crutches.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, granted, like, activity didn't meet the intake.
Yeah.
So, you know, a bit out of shape.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But when that's something that's important to you too.
So, that killed me. Yeah. And, yeah, just not being able to lift and move and do all that stuff. So, yeah, that was pretty tough. But to be fair to this person, like, you know, that was the last straw. And then I got fucking inside out.
Shredded.
Inside out. Fucking shredded. So maybe that was what I needed. Yeah. I needed that tough love. So yeah, and then I think the lockdown definitely That was the hardest the 8 months of my life. 2 years of my life, hands down.
Yeah.
And I reckon if I didn't get Mav, I reckon I don't actually even know how I got through that.
Yeah.
So he was just by chance, like he came. I managed to get Steph when she was weak. So can we get another dog? And then if I didn't have him over that period, it would have been a very even more challenging time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, it's interesting the and we'll go into it more, like the difference of like that acute response versus like the chronic people that suffer from it their whole lives and stuff. When you're able to say like this is why.
Yeah.
Which even at the time though, you're still not able to really deal with it.
No.
The jail, we'll call it, for monetization standpoint. Not that we get paid on podcast at all. To maximize reach. To have like 3 grown men that started as an argument and then everyone just cried. We were just like, everyone was so unhappy and so fucking stressed.
So awful.
Yeah, it was wild.
That was the hardest thing to navigate.
Yeah.
Just like having the thing that you love, you spent like so many... you know, days, hours, minutes, just pouring yourself into it, getting to a position where you're like, we're actually going to do what we set out to do, you know?
Yeah.
And then have it all just taken away from you.
Yeah.
You know, and having to just continuously pivot.
Yeah.
Like just spinning all the fucking time. Gotta go this way, gotta go that way, gotta, you know, and just having that like...
It's wild how little, and I'm like, I feel like it's still gone out on a limb, like socially, but... Looking back at how bullshit the whole thing was now and how little anyone talks about
it. I still really bitter. I don't know. I try to control my emotions about the whole thing because I can't control the outcome. But I am incredibly, incredibly bitter about everything.
And I think everyone is, and that's why it's not...
Yeah.
No one's being held accountable for it. No one's really talking about it that
much. I think that that hurts the most. It hits the hardest is like... There's no kind of closure on it. It's just like we just got fucked over from bad choices. And now, if anything, we're having to actually pay for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And any of the opinions.
For the next 10 years, apparently.
Any of the opinions that you had at the time meant you were a piece of shit.
Yeah. You didn't know anything.
And now it's like, that's accepted truth.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, without going ranting, because we could talk about that.
Bit of a sore spot, as you can tell.
Yeah, so for myself, I think like mid-teens, parents separated, shit blew up with my mom and stuff, everything was like lost. Because of that, I changed, lost all my friends, just like fucking chaos. Was in a real deep hole, like no attempts, but definitely plans.
Yeah.
Like took a knife to bed one night, like this is it sort of shit. So that was a period of time, and then I met a mate who's still the best mate of mine now, and my high school girlfriend at around the same time, and just like found a community and was like, okay, it's okay.
It's gonna be all right.
And then I think like I avoided a lot of it through just partying, like alcohol on the weekends, just like fucking blackout drunk every weekend, just deal with it
issues.
So it's interesting. It was probably longer lasting, but it was more probably, I guess, based around self-worth and stuff than anything else.
Do you feel like some of your... Because, like, it's funny you mentioned those things. I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot about them. Do you feel like some of those were maybe, like, you reacted that way because you were younger and you didn't have the resilience Like, yeah. if some of those situations happened now, would you react differently is more the question, I guess.
Yeah.
You, like, not all of them, of course. Like, everyone has the right to
yeah.
feel a certain way. Your parents separate, no matter when.
Yeah. So, I think, like, the circumstances that happened was basically a third of the most important people in my home life were removed from my life overnight.
Yeah.
And then all of my school friends, like, literally picked up out of that group, gone.
Yeah, wild.
Like, done. So, it was like, it was my own fault. Like, I was being a dick.
Yeah.
Because I was angry at fucking everyone. Mm. Like, you can see it in my school photos. It's wild. It's like, undercut in primary school.
Yeah.
Like, the short back and sides into, like, late primary school, frosted tips with the nice fringe and shit. And then, like, within one picture or 2 years, it's like, dyed black, grown out.
Yeah.
Shrabby,
basically, if
fit.
I could do this,
yeah.
I would.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you just discovered Eminem and Slipknot. Yeah. Like, Limp Bizkit.
It hurt you.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, that sort of transition, I was like, so, it as you were saying that, it was like being younger. So the Hormozy thing of like the best way to build confidence is to have an undeniable stack of proof that you are who you say you are.
Mm.
I didn't have it.
Yeah.
There was no proof that I was valuable that I could find. Not,
who has that at that age though?
Yeah. 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 And then you're dealing with step parents and fucking, it was all weird. That all went weird too. Cause like my stepmom was like, she signed up for Fortnite on, Fortnite off.
Mm.
And then I was like, yo, I live here now.
Yeah.
So she's like,
yeah,
this isn't what I signed up for.
Yeah.
And then, that all was like, basically said to dad, you have to choose.
Yeah.
And that was like a big step that he went, nah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Stability, got some friends, that happened. I was like, okay, I'm a little bit okay.
Yeah.
So I think, definitely when you're younger, you don't have the stack of proof.
Yeah.
That A, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Be that you're worth something. And then listening to the guy on the podcast I was listening to this morning was saying, like, particularly that going down like the extreme end of like that suicide route and stuff was like, it's, I think men are like I think they're 10% effective with their attempts.
Yeah.
And then women are like 1% effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I didn't know. I didn't know women had a higher suicide attempt rate than men. Just men are more successful at it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I was aware of that. Like, men just, like, sometimes just leave no option.
Yeah, like, yeah. More likely when it's a gun and shit like
or
that.
Or, like, just do something that's just, like, erasing opportunity of survival.
Correct,
yeah.
So, so basically this guy's theory, and I don't know how true it is. I listened to a guy talk for an hour, and now we're having a discussion. I'm not fucking diagnosing anything. I'm not an expert.
It's kind of fucked down.
Yeah. Basically. So his theory was, I'm willing, I need to show my community. Actually, let's come back to that. So we're going to come back to why people get to that stage.
Okay.
But yeah, outside of that, there's been a couple of like breakups that were pretty rough that I sort of had to ride a little bit. But outside of that,
I laugh only because my first one, I thought the world was going to end. And it's like,
turned out okay.
Yeah. It's going to be all right.
But again, it's like, it's the evidence things. Like, I don't have any evidence that there is someone else that...
Yeah, or undeniable proof that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That it's going to be all right.
Yeah. So, coming back to the start and where we went way deep, way quick. But outside of that, I think there's a few... lockdown was definitely one.
Mm.
Amy and I actually separated during lockdown, which is wild.
Yeah.
And then we were married within, I don't know, 12, 14 months.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
It's very interesting. Like, not just that. Like, we were sitting back watching really long relationships fracture during that period of time. And, like, people don't understand what it's like to just live in the pockets of people.
Yeah.
All the time and have
and be depressed.
I was going to say, and have all of this stuff affecting you mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, again, like, fuck, just the ramifications of people's decisions, I don't know how they sleep at night.
Yeah.
Knowing that there's a select group of people that are responsible for so much, like, hardship.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
So, something that I thought was really cool. So, I think, listen, he didn't in the chat, but I think it's probably important that I would suggest that there are cases of chronic depression that are, from what I can understand, some kind of brain chemistry thing.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure people have, there's certain conditions that are medically diagnosed yep. where the brain actually doesn't produce the chemicals, the neurotransmitters and stuff, or like ones in certain proportions
yeah.
that balances out your thoughts and your mental state.
Yeah, which I think is a different experience to what we're talking about, which
is an experience.
Yeah.
That's influencing correct. Your mental state.
Yeah, without diminishing it, but it's a mood. It's not a condition, let's say.
It's not chronic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's acute.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the way he described it in that context is depression is a response to adversity.
Yeah.
So it's a psychological injury.
Yeah.
So when you did your knee,
yeah,
your body created pain, swelling, and was like, stop doing the thing because you're affecting your ability to survive.
Yeah.
If you keep doing this thing, you won't survive. You won't be able to procreate. You won't be able to keep up with the tribe, whatever.
Yeah.
So stop doing that thing. And we take that as like, well, that makes sense. I've got a sore ankle. I can't walk on the sore ankle. Mm. So if I keep walking on the sore ankle, I'm going to get yeah. fucked up, and then I won't be able to keep up when we move. Or be able to provide value to my community. And if I can't provide value to my community, I'll be isolated. If I'm isolated, I'm dead. Mm. It's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Follow that train. And then you go, okay, if I have a psychological expression of that same thing, the depression is like the adversity, the way he defined adversity, was a threat to your survival.
Mm.
So if you have a breakup, you losing a mate means procreation, survival is a real problem. Mm. Maybe you're losing, if when you usually in a breakup situation like that, is like you're losing friends. There's usually sides, there's usually groups. You're losing community, an extended family, all that kind of is laid into it. So it's like the depression is a response to this is really bad. And the theory that he put forward was like it's a forced measure, like the not wanting to get out of bed, the low energy, the all of that stuff is like a forced way to get you to reflect on what happened.
Right.
So he was like, his dad died of cancer pretty suddenly, and his mum went through crazy depression straight afterwards. Through that depression, she became what we would probably refer to as like paranoid. And her depression came from her feeling that she could have noticed it sooner.
Yeah.
And did something sooner and then maybe he's still around.
Yeah.
So forced the doctor, her son, to go to the doctor, and they found, I think it was not dangerous at the time, but found a tumor in the same spot, and they got it out, and it's like, well, that potentially saved my life because it hadn't turned yet, but it could have.
Yeah.
So it's like that is a forced, you need to see what's going on around you because this is fucking up what's going on. So when we are removed from our communities, removed from our fulfillment, removed from everything, it's like, well, this is a threat to my survival. I've lost my tribe.
Mm.
So it was a really interesting, I guess, insight and a way to look at it.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, it's hard because it's like, are you able to think that at the time?
Mm. I think some people can, some people can't.
Yeah.
I think it gets to a point. I think in some instances, even from my own personal experience, there becomes a point where you're like, I have two choices.
Mm.
I either reflect and try and get on with this thing, try and, you know, heal whatever needs to be healed, or just do something else to just be productive and just get on with.
Yeah.
I can't just sit here. Or some people maybe just don't have, for whatever reason, have the strength, power, the ability to continue.
It's too deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just they need maybe some external help or people around them to do that, or circumstances to change. Not sure.
But
it just becomes I feel like in a lot of instances, I've just like, I know for me, I've just gotten to a point where I'm just like, something has to give.
Yeah.
Whether it's me being uncomfortable for a little bit of time to move towards something more beneficial, because I just can't continue.
Yeah.
On this route, because I just don't see any more benefit to doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. 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 I think, and why we're talking about it on this podcast, obviously, like, it's an important conversation to have, and there's not many 30 something year old males having this conversation on podcasts about training. But it, we have seen it a lot with personal trainers that come through and that don't do well.
Yeah.
Like, you just see mental health deteriorate so quickly.
Yeah.
And when you look at it through this lens, it's like, I don't know, I wish there's a point where you're like, hey, I'm starting to feel this way. To go, okay, this is, let's call it a psychological injury, for example, for lack of a better term. I don't think that's the word he used, but I didn't write it down.
Catch it.
Yeah, so call it that for lack of a better term. This is a psychological injury that's triggering me in a way that's supposed to be like, hey, something is creating danger for our survival. So if you're not making any money and you're under heaps of pressure and you feel like a failure and you're not valuable, like that, if you're not valuable in your community, then your community doesn't value you, and you—that's it. Anyway, and if you're on your own, survival rate's very fucking low.
Yeah,
and then even like your how appealing you are to a mate to reproduce, and all of those types of things start to kind of layer in over top of that when you're not doing so well. So I think it's cool. It would be cool to have the presence of mind as you're starting to feel like that, to be like, this is like your elbow hurting. Because you elbowed a wall.
Yeah.
Like you hit your funny bone. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's bad for you. And this is like a warning sign that like, hey, the circumstances of your life right now are non-conducive to long-term success. And I'm your brain. Yeah. I'm making you feel this way so you can be aware of that.
Yeah.
I just feel like that would be a really useful tool. I'm not certain...
When you play the card.
Yeah, I'm not certain how many people would be able to just catch that and leverage it when you need to.
Yeah, catching it's going to be the toughest part.
Yeah, because it's the same as like during jail time, it was like the toxic positivity thing came up a lot.
It was triggering me heaps.
And it was like, yeah, it was interesting because I know you had...
Experiencing it was triggering me, not seeing it.
Yeah, so you had the experience where like... Yeah, don't tell me that other people have it worse because that just makes me more pissed off. Yeah,
it's like, you could be worse. It's like, it's still pretty bad for me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I still feel the way that I do. Yeah, yeah,
regardless of like whether I'm still fortunate or seeing my cushy house with the internet. And
correct,
like,
yeah.
Playing Warzone shit. Like,
yeah.
Still shit. I don't want to do this.
Correct.
I want to be fucking making my business right.
You should go to Afghanistan, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic.
You didn't have
to
fight on the beaches of Normandy. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Fucking hell, how did you get here?
But then also I'm going to use dichotomy again. The weird thing is also I find solace in comparison quite often where I'm able to be like, well, I'm grateful for the situation being the way it is. This person has it much worse than me. So... Who am I to complain? 100%
there's a time and a place for that.
And gives me that edge to do it. Like the first, and hopefully it sounds like we're going to have the guys on the podcast. So CDG shirt on today. Friends of mine have a son who suffers from CDG. I'm not going to try and pronounce the actual term. Yeah. But it means he's really, really limited in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine like basically having autism, I don't want to like fuck it up, but non-verbal autism and seizures, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. No muscle tone.
Yeah.
Super, super limited in his abilities. We did our first like run and we did a 5K. It was supposed to be for them. It was supposed to be an event. The event got canceled. We all had like the CDD shirts and stuff on. It was like halfway through, it was like fucking 40 degrees or something. I hadn't trained in any heat. I was like, fuck this. And I was like, dude, imagine what... Yeah. Michael and Amy go through every fucking day.
Yeah.
The rest of the run was a little bit easier.
And old David Goggins on yourself.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, I'm tired. Like, fuck up. So that's interesting, I think, like to the way you can leverage stuff at times. Yeah, and then other times it's
you're leveraging that for yourself though.
Yeah.
You're leveraging that to...
Yeah, but someone pushing it down your throat.
Propel you in a direction. Like, you're not... dismissing somebody's feelings because somebody else has it bad.
Correct. Yeah.
It's like you're actually not accepting that someone has the right to feel the way they feel.
Yeah, my lungs still hurt.
Yeah. 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 So that's like me saying, fuck it, man. Like, you know, who cares if your body feels like this person's got like fucking one leg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they can still do whatever. It's like, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like a really significant event that's happened to somebody.
Yeah.
It's like they have the right to feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where there's a big distinguishment.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Another quick break. I just wanted to jump in and remind you guys about the STC Fit Learning Mentorship. Now, our mentorship's been running since about 2016, where we've developed trainers through their first year of business in personal training and allowed them to leapfrog the first 5 years of mistakes that we made. If you're currently studying, looking to finish in the next month or so, or you're looking for someone to help you out with mentoring and all that kind of stuff, jump on, have a look at the details for the mentorship at stcfitlearning.com. Head to programs and mentorship and all the details are there. And you can come and be an STC Fit coach for an entire year. It includes all of our education and direct mentoring from our head coaches. Back to the episode. So something else that was really interesting inside this podcast is the propensity to experience depression over your lifetime seems to have a direct correlation to your physical strength.
As in, the stronger you are, the less.
Yeah, because they think that one of, not in today's culture, but one an effective way to deal with confrontation in life is violence.
Fight people.
Yeah. So the situation of me, like, leaving that household, moving out, all that kind of stuff, is like, if I was able to beat the shit out of the person that caused that, I fucking probably would have. And it would have made me feel much better.
In a primitive age, we would have just resorted to
violence. Yeah, which is like culturally unacceptable right now. But looking back at it, I was like, probably would have been a good outlet at the time.
Yeah.
So, but also, I wasn't physically in a position to do it.
Yeah.
Either. It's like, that creates a dynamic.
I'd be really interested to know. I'd be really curious, like, how many, like, you know, fit, strong people that are content with their themselves in terms from a physical and health perspective.
The levels to which they experience it.
Because I know, like,
it's definitely still a thing. Like, you see it even with, like, athletes and stuff that are like,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just seeing how true that is. Mm. Like, how,
yeah.
Because, like, it's still the embarking on a journey of fitness, self-improvement, whether it's physical and or mental.
Well, that, yeah.
Builds resilience because it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, when we go into the gym, we always talk about, like, do the thing that you have to do regardless of whether you want to do it.
Yeah.
That's building resilience.
Yeah.
Getting under the fucking barbell.
Yeah.
And fucking it, you know, when it's pushing you down, you've got to get up and it's like, hey, there's one more there.
Yeah. It's the undeniable stack of proof.
Yeah. It's just like, that's building that resilience and that undeniable proof that you have the ability to push when it's tough.
So this guy was kind of putting forward a theory and a idea that could potentially be why it's more prevalent in women.
Yep.
So there's two main factors. One, the test that they do for strength is a grip strength.
Okay.
Grip strength is a indicator of upper body strength.
Yeah.
Upper body strength is the number one indicator for winning a fight outside of being trained to fight.
Yeah. So like, kick to the head, fucking.
Yeah. Game over.
Do a lot of things.
So theoretically, now, not all spectrum.
Yeah, settle down.
Et cetera.
Come on. All right.
I know it's 2023.
Work with us.
But
work with us.
More women are less strong than more men. There is an overlap inside that time. So theoretically, a less strong male versus a strong group of females would experience more depression based on this theory.
Yeah.
Again, it's a theory. We're having a discussion.
Yeah.
It's not, I didn't do the fucking research. Yeah. It's an open chat. So that was like, well, that could explain why females experience it so much more. And then, the host is an ex-fitness model and loves the gym. And he's like, so I can just go to the gym and like not be depressed? And he's like, well, obviously, like, we know physical activity is number one kind of thing.
What's one of the first prescriptions?
Yeah, it's one of the most helpful things to solve it, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And he goes, but we don't have the research to say, like, if you go train and get strong, does that
it's going to directly
solve
improve
the problem.
Yeah.
Also, then you've got like the overall health of the organism,
yeah,
your confidence, all the stuff that you just said in terms of that undeniable stack of proof that you are who you say you are, because you're doing hard things on a repeated basis, like character building, all of that. They are unable to separate all of that right now and say like,
yeah,
no, it's just because your grip strength's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as like a, you know, this again isn't conclusive, but I think it's just the dot in the I's and crossing the T's in terms of like you becoming as resilient to life as possible.
Yeah.
Do everything you can to create that undeniable proof of yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, what needs to be done for you to have that?
Yeah.
Because it's like, even regardless of like whether you experience acute and chronic depressions, even just when shit gets tough, you know, and it's like you actually start to question whether you have the voices in your mind are like, you know, are you willing, are you able, are you worthy? You're like, I can draw on all these fucking times where I am,
yeah,
and that gives me enough
confidence
to go, I can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability to do it, or a combination of both of those things.
Yeah.
I think that's a really valuable lesson to take.
Yeah. And I would add to that, which again, depending on who you are and what circle you are from, my wife might even disagree with this one, but like, I think there's value in having a chip on your shoulder for a period of time, as long as you need to create that.
Yeah.
So like my first, I don't know, 8 years of my career, maybe longer, was built purely in spite.
Yeah.
Like it was literally every day, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like just off pure negative emotion, let's say.
Yeah.
It was driven off that whole time. And then there came a time in my life where it was like, okay, this is no longer working
for me. Yeah, you can't, like, the fuel's
run
out. This is
fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, life's pretty good and you look like a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, you're in a nice house, your fiance is pretty nice, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're not eating on food stamps, bro, like, relax.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, but at least personally, it was a very useful tool to get me out of the position and the lifestyle and the thought patterns and the whatever.
Yeah.
To get me to a point where I accumulated enough undeniable proof to be comfortable and resilient without that.
Yeah.
Cause now, like, I have, I still don't mind a little emotional vent. Don't get me wrong.
Fucking oath.
But more often than not, like, stuff that would have really bothered me in the past is just like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And just keep, we know that's going to happen. Just keep rolling through it. Like, come at me again.
Yeah, and that's that maturity I was saying before. It's like, you know, and again, we're tying it to that proof, but it's like, that even there's, you would have reacted in a way in the past just based off what you know and what you've experienced.
Yeah.
So you almost just fortify yourself as you get a bit older. Or you can fortify yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like people can, you can choose to be as resilient as possible, and then you can choose to not.
Yeah.
And they both have ramifications.
So I've noticed I've been not just country story a week. I've been dropping like a line each week that it works its way into Jason's vocabulary. It makes me very happy because I like when I do that.
No, so my, men to break the rules. I've got to keep saying it. Make
yeah,
feel
yeah. So my one for this week is, so that like chip on your shoulder attitude is like strong like a brick.
Yeah.
So it's just like bricks are pretty strong.
Yeah.
They're pretty hard to break, but they're breakable.
They can still break, yeah.
When they're put in an environment that is super compression or impact or whatever, like it's still shatterable because it's not really what you want. What you actually want is to be strong like the wind. Because you can't fuck it, turn the wind off.
Can't fuck with the wind, man.
Bro, pick up a gum tree, fuck you.
Hit a
pick
golf
up a
ball
house,
the wind.
Fuck you.
It'll fuck you up.
So yeah, the goal is to transition when possible.
Yeah,
because I my personal experience with times where I've experienced depression, my way out of that each time has been chip on the shoulder, strong like the brick.
Yeah.
Maturity and preventing getting into those places again, I think, is trying to, it's not complete by any means, but be able to transition into being strong like the wind.
Mm.
So it's just like, that didn't bother me. Because
That's good from a personal perspective. I think don't be afraid to ask for help as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay if you're struggling.
Yeah.
It really is.
Jason and I used to do, when we were in jail, we used to do laps of the dam and basically complain for 20 minutes and then talk about life for 10.
Even if it's just one person that you can just be honest to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check up on your friends too. I isolated myself from my friends when I was struggling.
Yeah.
And they actually did a really good job.
Yeah.
Sent me a few gifts and stuff and checked in on me.
Yeah.
Good group of people.
Yeah.
You know you're onto a set of winners when that happens.
It's good to have those people.
Yeah, because it's hard to reach out. Like, I know, like, I get it's hard to say you're struggling.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. You kind of just bottle it up, you know?
Yeah.
Big burly man.
Yeah.
You know? Can't be weak. But it's like, yeah, if you can feel it, if you've got a good set of friends and you can feel something's not right, just check in. Check in on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea to do.
That was really valuable. Yeah. I feel like we should leave it there.
Yeah, you could talk forever, so
got
another potty to get to.
So, totally unrelated to the episode, but to make sure that, that's a rough line.
Let's just leave that.
That's a rough line.
Let's just leave that.
Should we leverage that to sell our product? No, we should not.
On that note.
Go to the website, stcfit.com, and check out our six-figure systems checklist to go through to find out how to make your admin and data tracking way more efficient than it is now. Reduce the anxiety in your business. There's a YouTube video coming out, I believe, next week, which we talk about how to take your business from where it is now to making six figures. Very, very simple. I do from 1,400 to 2 grand in 4 weeks in the example that I use, all by correct data management, correct onboarding strategies. Go check out the checklist.
Things
it comes with a free 5-part video series. So it's not just like tick off, I don't have it now, what do I do? I actually walk through how to execute all of those in your business as well. Standout PT closes in 3 weeks from the release date of this. If you are interested in Standout PT, there is a 30-day guarantee. So you've got nothing to lose. If you don't like it, you can just leave. We'll give you all your money back. But you've got to get in quick. And then for this month only, I'm doing a business audit for anyone who mentions the podcast on the way through. And I will have a look at your entire client experience from that start to finish and see if I can find any holes as to how to make your business better straight away.
Unreal.
Sweet.
Right.
Don't forget to watch
time,
Barbells and Banter on Wednesday. Ciao.